And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
Good evening. And welcome to episode 17 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me today, well, not Chris, not Lawrence. Instead, we brought in, you know, for the second time this week on one of my shows, John Pingle from Tornado Tag Radio. John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for having me again. Excited to help out any way I can and talk about AEW Dynamite with you.
Yes, and of course, if you weren't aware, John guested on Strong Style Story, episode 62, which is now on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. So, did you happen to see Dark this week?
I actually watched... I watched all of Dark. Yes, okay. I will say this is the first time I've watched AEW Dark.
Oh no!
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever watched it.
Yeah, well, usually the first 5 or 10 minutes of the show we go over AEW Dark. But first, I think it behooves us to mention Sammy Guevara trying to do his own little DX invasion shtick at the Royal Rumble, showing up in a little toy tank. Reciting the old Scott Steiner math promo from TNA.
Very funny stuff.
I don't even know if you can really... I mean, you obviously can't take it too seriously.
No, but, absolutely not.
But, yeah, so we would be remiss in not acknowledging that. So, let's quickly go through Dark, which was kind of a hodgepodge of matches taped either from Coral Gables, Florida a couple weeks ago or last week on the Jericho boat. So, yes. Anyway, as we go through, so the very first match was a tables match between Nyla Rose and Shanna, and I actually really fucking enjoyed this.
Now, when we were talking earlier in the day and you asked me if I'd watched Dark and I said no, and you said, well, you at least have to watch the first match. And I said, all right. And you were correct. This was a lot of fun.
I have really enjoyed I've really enjoyed this little feud between Nyla Rose and Shanna. Actually, it was just, you know, two people beating each other up because they hate each other. And yes. You know what? That's, you know, really the simplest formula that you need in professional wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fun because we haven't seen Nyla in a little bit because of the suspension, quote unquote. But it was just really nice to see her just tossing around Shayna. It was a lot of fun, Shanna.
Yeah, Shanna. And Shanna was taking it to her too. I mean, it was I really enjoyed this. I think people should go out of their way to see this. And then, you know, at the end, of course it ends with Nyla Rose choke slamming Shanna through the table on the outside. Sadie Gibbs attempts a rescue and fails miserably.
Oh, that's Sasuke. I was like, oh my goodness, Sasuke. Oh, that didn't work at all.
That didn't work.
It looked half nice until the end.
Yeah. The second match was taped on the boat, and Kip Sabian defeated QT Marshall. This was just kind of there. I mean, it was.
Yeah, it was a thing. I mean, a lot of arm work at the beginning, which, you know, all right, I guess. And then other than that, meh.
Yeah, meh, exactly. And then, speaking of meh, the third match, back to Coral Gables, in which the actual Dark Order, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, pretty much squashed Sonny Kiss by himself, because Brandon Cutler never actually made it into the ring.
Yeah, pretty interesting. I mean, obviously they're trying to further that storyline that the Dark Order is trying to recruit Brandon Cutler into their fold, but yeah, I don't know. It was
I didn't care for it. I just I, I Yeah, we here on this show, we were all in for the Dark Order thing until we got to the punchline on that last. And even then, you know, we enjoyed it. You know, we personally enjoyed it from that show in Dallas. But even though, you know, we were in the clear minority on that, but ever since then, it has just not worked.
Yeah, I feel like after the rumor that the Exalted One was supposed to be Marty Skrull, now they're just kind of floating in the ether, it seems like.
I'm
holding out that they do something cool. I love the Dark Order, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. I love them.
Yeah, they themselves are fine. It's just, I like the cult thing at first, but it just hasn't worked lately. Although let's table that for later in the show, because I made a note about something, but with that, we go live to episode 17 of AEW Dynamite, live from the Wolstein Center in Cleveland, Ohio, on the campus of Cleveland State University. Your announcers tonight, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. And we start off with a very Raw-like 20-minute opening segment. And this is only like the second time that they've done one like this, and thankfully it was decent, although once again it ran too long. But the Jon Moxley part of that promo was fine. Jericho had a few good one-liners, but in the end it's just, you know, it ends like every other, you know, opening Raw promo ever, you know.
I mean, overall it was all right. I thought there were two times when I went, oh, this is going to get way better, and then it didn't. I laughed very hard that they were holding the music so people could sing along. Like, clearly they were doing it after the Jericho cruise where everyone was singing Judas.
Yeah, which was a cool moment that we forgot to point out on the show.
It was a very cool moment, but now they're doing that thing where it seems like they're going to try and get it in every time Jericho comes out. And I don't know if I'm here for that.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the whole thing with did anybody recognize any of the indie workers that were, that came out as part of the 10 on one?
I did not. I think the only two that I know that did Delaney hit eat the paradigm shift or whatever they're calling it?
I think maybe.
I saw Colin Delaney, and I saw his tag team partner Cheech. I saw them. Those are the only two I recognized.
Okay,
and
I
think they were supposed to be part of the security, the Atlas.
Yeah,
security.
The Atlas security. Yeah, so. Yeah, one of them definitely did eat a Death Rider, so yeah. But anyway, but that segued right into our first match of the evening, which, of course, at first we had like a little vignette video. It was like, oh, great, we follow one promo with another promo. But that one was mercifully short, which, you know, again, segued right into our first match of the evening, in which the Butcher and the Blade with MJF and with Wardlow and with with Ali, take on Executive Vice Presidents Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks,
or as JR's calling them now, which it sounds like he's trying to make it stick. The Amazing Young Bucks.
Yeah,
he said
eight
times, and I went, no, don't stop,
JR, please stop.
He also called MJF Matthew, which was
now that was fun. That was funny.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh, you know, there's some definite issues with Jim Ross continuing to do live wrestling commentary.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's just like I think we're way, way, way past that at this point.
Oh yeah. Oh, did you catch which reminds me, did you catch during Dark the reference that JR made to when he got hit at G1 Special in San Francisco?
No, I missed it.
It was during the first match. Yeah, he made a reference to that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Well, anyway. So the match itself, it was a Young Bucks match, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen it before.
Yeah, and I mean, at least it was a new matchup. At least, you know, on AEW Weekly TV, it was the Butcher and the Blade versus the Young Bucks. But yes, this was a very Young Bucks-esque match. And I mean, it was fine. I don't need anything really that great. I honestly think there were better matches on the card, but I mean, we'll get to them.
But in the end, the Butcher and the Blade, you know, post match decided to, you know, still take it out on the Young Bucks, which prompted a save from the new AEW tag team champions, Kenny Omega and Adam Page, which had a actually pretty funny hold my beer moment.
Yes.
Even though I really don't like this Adam Page drinking shtick, but that was at least pretty funny.
I was gonna ask you because I on my show on Tornado Tag Radio and the stream I do on Sunday, we are not like completely sold on this Hangman Adam Page gimmick where it seems like they want him to be a cowboy, but it almost seems like they just said, "Well, what do cowboys do? Oh, they drink. So just go drink, I guess." I don't know.
Well, Lawrence, a couple episodes ago, went at length as to why he's not digging this angle, and I had to pretty much agree with him. But I mean, really though, I also lived through the Scott Hall gimmick in real time. And excuse me.
Oh, I did too.
My
yeah.
Dogs are freaking out about something. But
Adam.
Yeah, they have some thoughts about Adam Page, apparently. That moment was at least kind of funny. But I mean, come on now, every single episode now. Jesus,
yeah, it's you know? I don't. Yeah, I'm not digging it. But this moment at least was very just Buckshot Lariat leaves. Just it was good.
Yeah,
I really
yeah, that was good. And the Bucks and Kenny, you still trying? Hey, come on back with it. Oh
yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, is not going to happen.
No.
Our second match of the evening, number one contender match for the AEW women's title, Nyla Rose, her again, against Big Swole. Despite the fact that Nyla Rose versus Shanna was, like, one of my favorite things on AEW programming for the last few weeks, this match, it wasn't bad, but it really could have been better, given the talents that were in it.
Absolutely. It started off real cold. It was really rough around the edges at the beginning. And I mean, the crowd got into it towards the end a little bit.
Yeah.
That bicycle kick was something else from, and I did, it was a little sloppy. The roaring elbow blocked into the spear was, it looked rough, but I mean, Nyla gets the pin with the sit out powerbomb. And I'm digging both of these ladies. I really just hope we see them more. And here's the thing, though. Where was the other? There's only been, I think you could go back in time over the past couple of episodes and be like, well, this is the only women's match we're going to see.
Yeah, and that is really a damn shame given the caliber and amount of talent that they've had. I mean, where the hell has Chris Statlander been? Where has... Yes. Hikaru Shida been? Where's Emi Sakura been for that matter? And you Absolutely. Know, I think we know where Riho's been. She's been in Stardom lately, I think.
Yeah. The women's division, they have the talent. It just doesn't seem like they want to utilize it as it should be because it's a deep roster now. I think a lot of us when AEW started, we were very concerned with the state of the women's division. And now they said, look at all these people we've signed and we don't see them on TV all the time.
I mean, thankfully we not to spoil the rest of the episode, but we dodged a bullet and did for the second week in a row, or maybe even third week in a row. We have not had to deal with, you know, the Nightmare Collective. But where the fuck is, but I mean, you have Awesome Kong right there and not using her.
I know. Yeah, I don't get it.
It's ridiculous, and there's still a plot thread that, you know, they have yet to pick up with Awesome Kong and a certain other women's wrestler named Kong. But, you know,
yes. Oh my goodness.
But we've groused about that on this show plenty of times, so moving on. Our third match as we go into the second hour of the show, Cody Rhodes against Kip Sabian. And I'm just going to throw this out there. This match sucked.
It was a mess. And I enjoyed myself throughout parts of it. Well, but yeah, it was a mess for sure.
It was a complete. Now, the ending with, you know, the intensity of those, you know, the three consecutive crossroads. Okay, that made it a little more palatable towards the end, but God, this match just did not flow well at all. And I don't know what the hell Arn Anderson was doing.
Yeah, I say if you take out all the Arn stuff, and he just stays at ringside the entire time, I think this match is a lot better. But all the Arn stuff was very strange, especially bumping Bryce. That was... I just didn't get it.
That was... It's like, you know how we keep saying that the Sean Spears thing has been a complete waste of Tully Blanchard. This has been a complete waste of Arn Anderson.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense to why Cody needs him. I feel like you could put Arn Anderson with... I just name an AEW person, anybody else but Cody. It just doesn't make sense to me at all.
Well, you know, they're going with the old timey connection because, you know, the Rhodes family. But
yes,
but I mean, this would have made much more sense when Cody was actually feuding with Sean Spears and Tully Blanchard. But, you know, to do this months later, it's just like, why?
Sense.
And, you know, and also, you know, Kip Sabian is fine. Penelope Ford is fine. I do not give a single shit about this Kip Sabian, Penelope Ford, Joey Janela angle one bit.
So I don't care.
I
will say I laughed very hard when Janela popped up.
I mean, it was cute.
I was digging all the Penelope Ford interference. I mean, throwing the boot in the ring. I thought that was fine, but yeah, all the Arn stuff was kind of and I mean, while I do agree, I don't really care about the Janela Kip Penelope stuff. I did think that moment was pretty funny.
I mean, the facial expression sold it, but
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, otherwise, yeah, I just don't care. I don't care. Anyway, yeah, third match, Cody Rhodes beats Kip Sabian. Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
Wow, the executive vice president wins again. Who would have thought that? We then transition into another Britt Baker promo. I was worried that she was going to be loaded again after last week because I was still convinced that she was completely loaded.
Oh, man.
Those eyes were glazed over. I'm sorry.
Yeah, watching it back, I agree. This was basically take two from last week.
Yeah, and it was just as bad. I don't know what the state of her sobriety was at that point, but this was just as bad. And I don't care if she shot on Jim Ross or not.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I did like you finally have a Baker you can trust in. I thought that was very funny.
Well, I mean, you know, her being from Pittsburgh and all, she has to make a little dig at the Browns fans, but which, you know, fair enough. I'm a Steelers fan myself, but. You know, at the same time, just Britt Baker does not need to be on my TV anymore, period. I'm done.
I agree.
We are in week 18 of this experiment. It is not working.
Yeah. Now she's Isaac Yankum.
right. Yeah. Well, go. Well, when does she begin her Kane phase then?
Oh, man, I don't know, but I'm excited for it. Let's see what that happens.
Speaking of experiments that didn't really work for me, the next match, our fourth match of the evening. Now, wait, I know that there was a Young Bucks and Kenny Omega promo backstage.
Yes.
I don't remember when it happened. I didn't write it down.
It happened. It happened right before the SCU TH2 match.
Okay.
Where Hangman comes in and he goes, "Hey, they made nameplates for everyone here. You guys can have them, you know, when you maybe win these championships."
Yeah. I mean, that was good.
Well, I did. Just leaves again. He's like, "All right, see ya."
Yep, I'm out. But yeah, I guess they booked an 8-man match for next week, which is a shame because we could sidestep into, you know, one of the things we also like to complain about on this show. But you know what? I think I'm just gonna save pocket that for next week. So.
All right.
So moving on, our fourth match of the evening, SoCal Uncensored. Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky up against the Hybrid 2, Angelico and Jack Evans. Of course, you know, of course, SCU comes out in Kobe Bryant swag because, yes. You know what? You know what? It'd almost be insulting if they didn't, you know?
Right.
Given the whole SoCal Uncensored gimmick, but.
Yes.
But, yeah.
I mean, this was a match. It happened.
Yeah, it sure was. It was definitely a match.
I mean, it was good to see Angelico and Jack Evans, but besides that,
that's my exact thoughts. This match was complete meh. I did not care about this match one bit. Yeah, it's like I guess they're still continuing the super push of Scorpio Sky on this program, and yeah. I mean, the Hybrid 2 didn't even really do much of what made, you know, Angelico and Jack Evans so, garner our notice. However, yeah. I will know that the Kobe shirts were not the only tribute in this match, because if you noticed, Angelico was wearing a very La Parca-like outfit today.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Triple A representing here.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So, anyway, post-match, SCU later, for some reason, I can't get those words to come out of my mouth very well. they pick up the win, and then we get a video from the Dark Order.
Yeah,
and it was thankfully mercifully short, but somehow the Exalted One is pissed off at Christopher Daniels. Okay.
which is very strange, because out of everyone they've tried to recruit, why would he be the most angry at Christopher Daniels?
You know, I had a thought. Remember, you do of course remember the old rumor about Christopher Daniels.
Yes.
Yes, I'm wondering if this is a reference to that somehow.
I mean, yeah, he has always been pinned to be some sort of dark overlord figure in, I think it was both WCW and WWF at one point, right?
Yeah, yeah, he was. So, and it's never materialized ever in any way, shape, or form.
We're going to do it.
Are we finally going to do it now? Now that, you know, he's at the tail end of his wrestling, his in-ring career.
Yeah.
It's kind of an oblique stretch, much like, you know, Arn Anderson was using the Brian Eno oblique strategies cards earlier in his match. But I actually kind of forgot to get that joke in earlier. So good thing I was able to segue into it
here. Yes.
So, and then we get a video promo with Pac, and I actually really enjoyed this.
I loved this. This was my maybe my favorite thing of the night.
Yeah, it was so good. I forgot to make my regular Billy the Fish reference. Or do I need to explain that, or have you listened to the show before?
Yes, please explain it.
Okay, so for like the fifth time in this program, okay, so Billy the Fish is a feature in the Viz comic in England, and it's a lot of it is jokes about the city of Newcastle and Newcastle United fans, which of course is where Pac is from, and is a. You know, if you can't tell from that thick Geordie accent, from Newcastle, and of course, you know, he's a. I assume he supports the tune, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's the. We tend to make a lot of football jokes on here because both Chris and I follow the sport, so you know.
I know that about Chris.
Yeah. He's a Palmeiras fan, so you know.
My my co-host is a big Germany fan, so they.
Oh yeah, I like the German national team.
They go at it every once in a while about that Brazil game.
Yeah, I had a guy kind of reminded him of that on my other show, Busting Balls, because that was one of the top moments of the decade, was that match. So. One of only two single matches that made our lists. But anyway, so yeah, so now Pac is, I guess he's gonna start targeting Kenny Omega anyway. Tag titles or no?
Let's do it. I'm here for it.
Yo, if they were smart, they would do like Pac should get like a partner and get those titles off of them.
I mean, he should just bring somebody in for. Well, I don't think is Red still a thing. I'm vaguely following Dragon Gate.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, but I mean, I don't think Dragon Gate. Yeah, Dragon Gate doesn't have anything going on with AEW. OWE does, but not Dragon Gate.
Oh well.
But yeah, they should. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Pac should like get himself a partner and. Get himself a partner and maybe go after those tag titles as a, you know, that's how I would book it anyway.
I mean, yeah, if he wants to get it at Kenny so bad, he should find somebody who hates Kenny or Hangman or the Elite as much as he does.
Yeah, right. So, but anyway, be that as it may, that was a good promo. I really enjoyed that.
Loved it.
And then the main event of the evening. Les Champions, Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz against three of the earliest rising stars of AEW that really they haven't done jack shit with lately. Darby Allin and Private Party.
What a strange pairing.
It was, but you know what? It still kind of worked.
Yeah, it did.
And I actually really enjoyed this match. Actually, this was I liked everybody in this match, and it all flowed together pretty well.
I live for the Darby Allin hot tag. I just live for it. It's just good. But it was weird because the crowd was like, "Darby Allin hot tag, this is great," and then they just seemed real dead after that.
Yeah, they kind of did. I mean, the crowd did kind of die. On that note, Jim Ross saying that there is nobody quite like Darby Allin in wrestling is like, Jim, we need to introduce you to Donovan Danhausen sometime because
yes, right? Oh my goodness!
Oh,
I don't
boy.
Even. I don't know how JR would handle Danhausen.
I don't know. Maybe Warhorse and Danhausen at the same time, even.
Oh my goodness!
That would be something.
No. I'd be fine with it.
Hey, yeah, you know. So anyway, in the end, it became a schmoz, of course, and Jericho hits the Judas effect on Isaiah Kennedy.
I thought, because I saw Jericho after the pinfall, he was talking to Aubrey. I thought he was like, yeah, I nailed him real bad. You need to tell somebody to come check on him.
Yeah.
He hit him quick with it. See, that's how the Judas effect should work.
Oh, yeah.
That was nuts. Yeah. He destroyed him with that.
I have noticed that because we all remember the footage of back in WWE of Jericho wrestling, you know, Pac when he was known as Neville, and the referee refused to do a three count, and you know, so Jericho pinned him again because you know he had severely injured, you know, Neville got severely injured, and he was just screaming at the ref afterwards, like on live TV. He didn't give a shit. Yeah. You know, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Ugh.
He's hurt.
Ugh.
But anyway, so it, you know, it all leads to another, you know, a continued beatdown. Of course, you know, John Moxley, our modern day Stone Cold Steve Austin, that has, you know, that has an acolyte in our favorite young line in a while, Shooter. you know, makes a save with a baseball bat, you know, Moxley doing Moxley things.
But after, I wonder if they're setting up Hager's first match to be against Darby Allin. I wonder.
Yeah,
but,
they have kind of abandoned, they have kind of abandoned that whole Dustin Rhodes thing.
Yes.
With Hager. Why is he not wrestled yet? Is it something to do with this MMA?
I don't know. And I wonder if they, if this is, if they're just like, we don't want you to wrestle yet. Like, I wonder if he's ready to go, but they are just like, no, not yet.
But I mean, it's been 4 months since
I know
Dynamite took to the air, and I mean, whatever. I mean, the less of this MAGA chud, the better. But you know,
very true, very true.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, 4 months. I mean, Awesome Kong has wrestled in that time. You know,
that's very true. So yeah, I don't know, but they beat the crap out of Darby after this with the skateboard to the throat and the rear ends.
Oh yeah. And then, you know, Moxley makes a save. So even though, you know, Darby and Mox have gone at it themselves, you know, he still makes a save. So
yeah.
As we go off the air for episode 17 of AEW Dynamite. I guess they're in Huntsville, Alabama next week.
That is correct.
Yeah. They announced some of the matches. I guess, what was it? Mox and Ortiz.
Yes.
That's happening.
Baker versus
Yuki.
Which I mean, we haven't seen Yuki in a while. I don't even think she's been on
Yuka Sakazaki. Yeah, I don't even think she's been on AEW TV yet.
Oh yeah, I don't think she has. I think they said this was her debut. The 10 Lashes.
From Jesus Christ. I don't know about this shit. I don't know about that shit.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, I guess I get it, but also I don't.
And you know, we have an 8-man advertise of the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Adam Page up against Butcher Blade and the sorely misused Pentagon Jr. and Rey Fénix.
Yeah. That should be hopefully a lot of fun, but I agree. I mean, if anything, just use Rey Fénix more. What are we doing?
I mean, I'm going to go to the point of, you know, once again, Pentagon is, you know, one of my top three wrestlers in the entire world. And he is possibly one of the most marketable ones they could use because, hey, insane kung fu looking, you know, Mortal Kombat guy, you know?
Yeah. I'm also very surprised. We have the Super Bowl coming up, and Kittle is a huge Pentagon fan. And
they could be. I mean, AEW could be riding that so hard right now.
I have no idea why he has not been like that. The crossover from that, he should be on TV every week because of that.
And they just are not. And I don't. I have my suspicions why they're not, but, you know.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't want to cast any aspersions or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to cast any aspersions on the people who, you know, confess to love Cracker Barrel or anything. But, the Lucha Brothers are being completely misused. But, anyway, that is, you know, I guess that was our obligatory rant on the subject. So, John, At this point, we usually do the pros and cons of the episode. So take it from here.
Oh, goodness. The pros. I mean, the pros for sure. The Pac promo was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed that. The use of Hangman. I think every time he showed up tonight, I liked it. The digs at the Young Bucks and the actual just hold my beer moment, I really liked. Other than that, the cons, I mean, I'm not feeling this Britt Baker thing at all. I'm just don't know. I'm like, I'm done with it. I get it. You're a dentist. Now you're an evil dentist. Okay. I've seen that before. I've seen it before. I didn't like it the first time in 1992. I'm probably off by a year or two, but whatever. And John Moxley. I just like Moxley. It's weird. Like, a year ago, he gave his notice, and he's just now somehow, like, rejuvenated and one of my favorite people to see every week.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Moxley can do absolutely no wrong, and the way he... The way he's comported himself in AEW and how... You know, even in New Japan, where he just brought this element that was just not there before he showed up, you know?
Oh, yeah. Every match was a dream match for him. It was just, and just, it, yeah. I mean,
him and Ishii and Taiichi throwing bombs at each other, you know?
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. And the whole shtick with Shota Umino, even, it was like, who saw that one coming? You know?
Oh, my.
No, absolutely nobody. And yet, you know.
Oh. And now that was the first night too, wasn't it?
Say again?
Or was it the night? Was that was that the first night or the second night?
The second one. That was the second one. The first night was against Juice. He won the title off of Juice, and then like at Dominion, the opening match was Mox against Shota, and it became something.
Tale as old as time.
and it became just this wild thing, and now we have Shota Umino out here. Yeah, he's giving off mad Tanahashi and Kento Miyahara vibes, but at the same time, he's holding that Death Rider's jacket too. So hey, you know,
love it.
But so the cons was just pretty much everything else at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's so weird to me that I don't know why I'm continue to watch AEW live. I don't know why I feel like for me in the Wednesday Night War, while they are winning the ratings, I feel like still NXT has the better show, in my opinion. But I still love watching AEW Dynamite live. But every week I go, why didn't I watch NXT live? I don't know why.
Well, I don't watch WWE programming, but at all, at all. So, and that's a very long story.
I mean, you're better off for it. I barely, NXT is pretty much the only thing I watch weekly. Everything else I'll pop in every once in a while,
right? But you know, it's so weird after being away from like American weekly TV, you know live 2 hour, 2 and 3 hour wrestling, I'm still kind of like adjusting to it after years and decades of watching tapes and tapes and now streams on NJPW World and AJPW TV and everything else, you know?
Well, and if you're a Noah fan, that streaming's coming soon too.
Oh yeah. I did not see that, but good for them.
I think they announced it today, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't catch that, but good. That's good to hear. As far as my pros and cons. Yeah. Mox is great. 20-minute opening Raw promos, not great. I didn't really care for that. Other than that, I mean, the only match that really did anything for me really was the main event. Nyla Rose against Big Swole, that really could have been a show stealer, and it just simply was not.
Yeah.
And I felt kind of let down, especially after I was riding high after, just last night watching Nyla against Shanna. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so. I did not steer you wrong on that, though, did I?
No, you didn't. I was pleasantly surprised, and that match was so fun.
Yeah, the Britt Baker promo. Yeah, just Britt Baker needs to not be on my TV anymore. Period. Other than that, yeah, the Pac promo was excellent. And yeah, grudgingly, I'll admit Adam Page's bits tonight were both pretty good.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they were just, you know, they were short. They weren't too long, and they were a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I mean, there's definitely a lesson to be learned here. And hey, like I said, I think for the second or third week in a row, because I haven't bothered to look at my notes, we have avoided the Nightmare Collective.
Yeah. No, they have not been.
I mean,
great.
We still got the Dark Order thing going on, which shit, but.
Yeah,
we've avoided the Nightmare Collective, and I think that trend needs to continue.
Yeah, I wonder what is going on with that, because that just seems like, are they just dropping that completely? I don't know. I don't think they will, but
they dug up, you know, Dr. Luther from whatever cave he was living in, because. I literally forgot about the existence of Dr. Luther. I mean, the last time I saw him was on like some old, you know, pre-Hayabusa, you know, FMW tape, yep, or something, right. You know?
Hey, it pays to have friends who run a company, I guess.
And it turns out. So that's that. And yeah, we'll be in Alabama next week. So anyway, John, plug yourself.
All right, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JP Thrice. I have a weekly wrestling podcast called Tornado Tag Radio. We review this show, AEW, and I think this week we're going to try out MLW. So,
oh wow,
yeah.
I hope I didn't ruin your show that's coming up now.
No. You did not. I will talk. I'm going to talk about this again on my Sunday stream over at that hashtag show. So I've already talked about AEW twice, and you know, it's wrestling, so I love talking about it. But my Sunday stream is facebook.com/THS Wrestling News. I do a live stream every Sunday night from that location. And what else? Oh, NOTLG.com is my podcasting network. I have Tornado Tag Radio and Podcastica, which is my Doctor Who podcast for any random people who are also Doctor Who fans.
Oh, yeah, we may have some things to discuss then.
Yeah, let's do it. I know this is a random aside here, but I go to a Doctor Who convention and I only wear wrestling shirts because I know everyone's there to like Doctor Who, but I want to find the wrestling fans.
Well, my the last couple of Comic Cons I've been to, even though I'm like looking for work at in the industry, and I'm wearing my Ingobernables hoodie, so you know.
Yeah.
At this point, who cares? You know, I just don't care at this point. I'm just gonna wait.
How very
So are you going? Are you going to Gallifrey then?
Yeah, I'm going to Gallifrey 1.
I've never been to Gallifrey.
Oh, and let me
tell you. I've been watching Doctor Who since I was 5 years old, and I'm 47 now. I have never been to Gallifrey. And indeed, I always forget that Chicago TARDIS happens every Thanksgiving weekend, too, and I live here now.
Well, I mean, I've heard Chicago TARDIS is great. I've been going to Gallifrey 1 for, I think this will be my 10th or 11th year. This could be a whole nother conversation. I don't know how much who you want.
Well, thanks for tuning into Boom Goes the Doctor Who on you can find me at Strong Style Story with at the Ian Style on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at GD Wessel. That's 2 S's 1 L. And and there's also I also mentioned Busting Balls, soundcloud.com/busting-balls. There may be a new episode coming up early part of next week. I don't know yet. Depends on if our schedules can match. So, John, any final words?
I think, you know, I think you mentioned you don't watch WWE, and I think I would just like to, this has been my mantra for a while. Guys, nobody's making you watch Raw or SmackDown.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Words to live by. All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.